Hey, buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by the Pinot to my Grigio, Rich Stambolian.
Bob, 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 Bob. Can I also be the Pinot Noir?
You could be the Pinot to my Noir.
All right. I like that.
What's going on, Rich?
Nothing, man. We're watching a lot of wrestling this week. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying hanging out with you and MG Geek and Jonathan. This is show number 3. For us so far?
Show number 3 for us. Show number 5 in total for the Matt Men Empire.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. We're all over the place, baby.
The Matt Boys have been very busy with their watch alongs the last couple days. A lot to talk about. Obviously, last night, NXT Stand and Deliver Night 1. We broadcast it live on the F4W Wrestling Observer YouTube account. It was a lot of fun. I was very out of it because I just made it to get on the show. And it was a very chaotic day for me, but tonight we'll be fine with our night 2 coverage of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, again on the F4W account. This is airing on Peacock tonight, not on USA, so you could join us on Peacock, watch along with us, hang out with us, have a couple drinks, and have some fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun tonight, obviously, and then Friday, tomorrow morning, we have our WrestleMania 37 preview show where we break down everything that we think is going to happen, all the matches, all the lineups, what we like, what we don't like, and what we expect. That's going to go live tomorrow. Saturday night, we got WrestleMania Night 1. Sunday night, we got WrestleMania Night 2, all exclusively on the Wrestling Observer F4W YouTube account. You could join us there. F4W Online here on YouTube. You could subscribe. You could follow. You could do whatever you want and join us there. There's a lot to break down from last night's wrestling. AEW had a really good show, a pretty good show, I should say. I really enjoyed Mike Tyson. I liked the main event. I liked a lot of elements for the show. I was very solid show. I was anticipating them to just do a show, considering NXT as a pay-per-view. But they didn't do that. They had some big moments.
Yeah. NXT was really, 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 really good. You know, when we first started watching it, I was like, but then once the ball got rolling, forget it, man. That was a good event. It was a good event. I was surprised that there weren't more folks watching along with us than there were last night. And we appreciate all you guys like tuning in and everything. It was fun. You watched AEW this morning. I watched AEW this morning. Also another solid show, you know?
Yeah.
I do think the NXT show was a tad more... I liked it a little more just because it had more weight to it, you know?
Oh, me too. I agree with you. You know, I we'll break down the NXT show, obviously, and everything else that happened. The NXT show, the AEW show, and everything that's, you know, the aftermath of this, because there were some big moments for both products and big changes coming for both products. I do want to talk about an advertiser, a sponsor for today's show, and that's Canvas Theory. I don't know if you've seen these guys on Twitter, Rich, because they DM'd us a while ago, and they got some pretty good products. What they do is they're a fashion brand that's inspired by pro wrestling. They sell snapback hats, which, by the way, I'm an absolute huge fan of snapbacks. That's all I wear. I'm actually ordering a hat from them. I could probably ask them, like, hey, you want to send one over? I want to order because the products are really good. They're a company based in Ireland, but they do ship to the U.S., as one of the suppliers are here in New York, which is awesome. And if you use the promo code MATMEN at checkout, you get 10% off your first order as a new customer. And it's really cool stuff. You can go head on over to Canvas Theory. Their Twitter account is Canvas Theory. Their website is canvastheory.com. You can check out the stuff that they have. They have some really awesome snapbacks. You know, it's really cool when you have a brand like this that's not so in your face with the wrestling, that you have these small little things that you're like, oh, that's really cool. They have a lucha inspired hat. They have a mat, the actual mat cutout inspired hat. They have a Japanese wrestling inspired one, and obviously more to come from Thick Canvas Theory. Go check them out, canvastheory.com. Support them. They're a fan of the show, and we're a fan of theirs, and we wanted to give them a plug here. Canvastheory.com. I want to thank them for supporting this week's Matt Men.
Thanks, guys.
Where do you want to begin, Rich?
Let's start at the top with that NXT slight recap. I also had an idea for you.
Okay, give me.
I'm going to pitch it to you, all right? You know how every time you're saying how you're going to eat a shoe or like a paper plate or something?
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
I have a definitive answer to what you should do for a bet.
Okay.
I don't know if you're going to go for it, though.
Okay.
Hear me out.
Yeah.
You got to give yourself a mo haircut.
Oh, no.
Bowl on your head.
Oh, no.
Snip, 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 snip all around.
I got to tell you, I'm all for eating my shoe. I am not for... Not for
you'd rather eat shave. A shoe.
Oh yeah.
Then
shave my head.
Then give yourself a mo haircut.
Yeah.
Like Mo from the Three Stooges.
Mo not, from not, no. Not men on a mission. Not men on a mission.
Not Mo Collins. Not Mo from Men on a Mission.
So the pre-show for NXT Night One, you have Zoe Stark defeated Toni Storm. This was interesting, huh?
That was a fun match, man. That was a good match.
So both. I missed this match.
Okay, Papa Johnzo and I watched it, and it was very good. It was a very solid match. I thought that was a great show opener. What I really dug about that event last night was that the crowd looked good. You can hear the crowd. It was peppered into the audience. The weird thing that Papa Johnzo pointed out, Jonathan, was the chain link fence that was superimposed on the fan graphics, the LED background.
That was weird.
A little distracting. A little distracting, but not as distracting as Mickey James's outfit.
Mickey James's outfit was extremely distracting. You were very upset over it. You just, for about 45 minutes, that's all I heard about, which I had to look because I hadn't seen it. I looked at it, I'm like, oh, okay, now I get it.
Oh, yeah. She does look like a sexy chocolate mummy.
She does look like a sexy chocolate mummy, which is perfectly fine. Peacock viewers, so what they did with the show, which was strange, and a lot of people did not know this was what the plan was, they simulcasted this on Peacock and on USA, and Peacock didn't go to commercial breaks, they just kept with the action, but every time they would go to a commercial, the audio would mute on the Peacock feed for about like 3-4 seconds, and then come back.
Okay.
Which is so weird.
I had it muted, so...
Okay, no, I was listening to it.
Yeah. Yes. I can't because I know it'll bleed into my microphone.
Yeah. I had a little bit of the audio going, so we'll. That's how I heard it. All right. So how did this show begin, Rich?
It began with the pre-show. Big live crowd in attendance. We got Nita Strauss doing the national anthem. This could be the first time the Star Spangled Banner has been played and not America the Beautiful, but I feel like they save America the Beautiful for WrestleMania.
Interesting. I didn't even think of that. I guess that is true, that they didn't play America the Beautiful. They played the Star Spangled Banner.
It's also more conducive to a guitar player to play
the Star Spangled Banner. It is more conducive. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. First match, Pete Dunne, Kushida. Pete Dunne defeated Kushida. I enjoyed this match.
Nice and quick match. Good crowd. The first two matches were good crowd warmers. Kushida looked good. We mentioned last night, like, what is Kushida's ceiling? You know, before you jumped on the air, it seems like, not that he's mishandled by WWE, but I consider Kushida in NXT like his excursion from Japan.
Mm. Yeah, that's what you said yesterday, which was interesting. I never thought of that.
Yeah. And give it a couple, you know, like give it a couple of years. He's going to go back to Japan with new hair. He's going to take the junior belt again, and maybe move up to heavyweight. At least that's what I see. You know,
I don't know. I think this was a good move for him. Obviously, they gave him 10 minutes with Pete Dunne, 10:39 according to Wikipedia. I think he looked good, but I don't know what you do with Kushida. You know, he doesn't have the charisma that a Nakamura has. You know, we're doing a comparison because they both came from New Japan, both went to NXT. He doesn't have the charisma, but my God, you know, he's a very interesting guy to watch wrestle. I enjoy watching him wrestle. I just don't know how that'll translate to everybody else.
Yeah. Him having that matchup with Pete Dunne was very good. I think their styles mesh very well with each other.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Next match, Bronson Reed, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Cameron Grimes, LA Knight, Dexter Lumis, and Leon Ruff in a sex man. Ooh.
A six man
gauntlet eliminator match. The winner receiving a North American Championship match on night two with Johnny Gargano. Bronson Reed defeated this group. Now, I always say when you have a match like this, right? Like you got these six guys here. This is to display the future. That next generation that's coming up. Right. Absolutely. Not to say all of them are going to be very successful coming up, because we've seen that happen numerous times where we've had these, you know, star studded six man matches, even that ladder match from a couple of years ago where EC3 was in. Some of the guys really break out and become major, major stars, and other ones really don't. I think some of these guys are going to become major stars in this company, and you could kind of tell who has it right now and who's almost there. I thought everybody looked good. I from the looks of it, this was the least liked match on the card.
Wow, really?
They went 23 minutes. I did not have an issue with this match. Did you?
No, not at all. It was a stacked card, and I feel like maybe you can argue that it was 4.5 stars and not 5 stars, which, for argument's sake, you know, like, let's say all the matches were 5 stars. Great match. By the way, I called it just to pat myself on the back.
You did. Bronson, you
Reed.
Did.
Bronson Reed, day one. I'm a fan of the big boy. I think that match with Gargano that he's going to have tonight, I think we're going to get a lot of surprises.
Okay. I'm very interested in it.
If you remember, there was a ladder match last year where one of the moves popped the hell out of us, and it was Candice LeRae jumping on Bronson Reed's back, trying to get him to not climb the ladder.
Oh, yeah.
Bronson Reed splashed the shit out of Johnny Gargano.
So Ruff was eliminated first. Loomis eliminated by LA Knight. Swerve eliminated by Cameron Grimes. Dexter Loomis eliminated by LA Knight. Reed eliminates LA Knight. And Grimes eliminated by Scott. Old school tights roll up. Earlier, Grimes was trying to bribe Scott to give him, to help him, which was, I thought that was a cool spot. Is he running out of money yet?
I don't think so, but this was a good showing for everybody. It gave everybody, like, everybody got their quote unquote shit in, you know?
Yeah.
And I really thought it, I even though I called Bronson Reed, just having Swerve at the end with this new character tweak, I really enjoyed that. He's got, like, such a bright future in NXT. And like you said last night, this is a showcase for that future generation of main event NXT guys.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. This is exactly that. Yeah, it's improved a lot on me, especially like watching it more and more now because I have more time to sit there the following day and watch it. I'm starting to see how they're piecing these guys together, and it's going in a good direction. I'm actually happy with this. Next match, in my opinion, the match of the night. I don't know if you think the same or not. My God, what a great match. You had the NXT United Kingdom Championship on the line. Walter against Tommaso Ciampa. Walter retains the title by winning via a chop pin.
Suplex, the end sequence of German suplex into giant chop. Fantastic.
Dude, I thought this was the match of the night.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Ciampa, 16 minutes. 16:59, 17 minutes.
Ciampa cleaned up his look again. These guys were in it for a fight, you know, and like you were saying yesterday, if this was a different time, maybe Walter would have a different gimmick.
If this was a different time, he would have a very different gimmick. I do like, and I do appreciate that Ciampa does not look like a New York City public school custodian anymore. he cleaned up his look. He looked like $1 million. These guys had a great match. You know, I think this is a very unique NXT style match, right? This is the definition of that hard hitting product that they've been really working on. Would you say that this is a quintessential NXT main event style match?
Absolutely, absolutely. They worked in those, and you know what? An NXT style match of that caliber does a great combination of everything that the two guys learned on the indies, plus with that little spit and polish from WWE.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they weren't working that stereotypical WWE style, but they were within the constraints of that NXT universe, you know? But they told such a great story. Walter chopping the announce table, breaking it in half. His wrist was hurting the whole night, you know, the Ciampa going for it. Really good juxtaposition between these two guys. And then you had the Imperium show up at the end, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. So tag team titles on the line, Rich. MSK and the Grizzled Young Vets. What'd you think?
Oh, I loved it, dude. I think I was a heavy favorite for MSK. And I got to say, like, I undercredited the other teams. And the three teams, Grizzled Young Vets, MSK, Legado del Fantasma, they put on such a show that at the midpoint of the match, I was like, holy shit, this could be anybody's ball game, you know? And then I started kind of rooting for Legado del Fantasma. And then you brought up a good point last night.
Oh, did
who
I?
Who of these teams could you see on the main roster? And what would you do with them?
I don't know. I don't know who would benefit. I got to tell you, though, the Rascals look like $1 million. They've really, they're a great tag team. They're a great act, but I think that they've really been polished up. And it almost reminds me of what was that TM?
Oh, the Mighty Don't Kneel.
The Mighty Don't Kneel, yeah.
The Mighty are named Kneel.
No, but what were they? What were they? TM 60 what?
TM 61, I think. TM 69.
69, is that it? TM 61?
I think it's TM 61.
Yeah, TM 61. The Mighty Don't Kneel, yeah. They were supposed to be a tag team like this in their eyes, and it just never worked in NXT for some reason, which was bizarre to me.
Well, one of the guys got hurt kind of like right off the bat, and I feel like TM 61 came at like a weird time, you know, where like, not that there wasn't a place for them, but they couldn't figure out what to do with them properly, you know?
Yeah.
MSK put on such a hell of a show yesterday. And, you know, like I was saying, if they're going to move to the main roster, put them on SmackDown, have them work a program with the Usos, maybe even join Roman's Roman Empire.
You're really big on that, huh?
I am really, really big on that.
Okay, I think, see that happening.
Right, like, as opposed to, like, if you bring up Legado del Fantasma, it's got to be the three of them, you know, including, like, Santos Escobar. But I feel like that's going to be maybe the plan post-WrestleMania. And then, what are you going to do with Angel Garza, the other Latinos, because for some reason they don't know what to do with their modern Latinos now on the main roster?
Yeah. I thought it was a great match. Very good match. Very good showing for both tag teams.
How did you like the main event, which was up next?
The main event, Raquel Gonzalez defeated NXT Women's Champion Io Shirai to win the title. Io took a bow afterwards. I don't know if this is a call-up. I don't know what this means for her. I think she had a very good run in NXT. They really booked her to be a tremendous, tremendous, you know, very comparative to Asuka, you know, booked them in a very similar manner where they told you that this is a serious competitor and this is someone that doesn't lose all the time. And it's and if you do lose and you're this person, it means a lot for the winner.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. You know, Raquel looked, she's improved so much over the last even 6 months. You know, it's been a major, major improvement. And, you know, this was the epitome of an NXT title main event. You have the established champion that's well-rounded and already ready for that next move with somebody that has improved and is at that caliber, but is still fresh. And you just switch the title over. I think this is going to be good. Whoever the next challenger is, whether it be EO or not, really has a nice program set up for them.
Oh, yeah, 100%, man. And you know what? Like, I was honestly expecting, my call for last night was EO Shirai winning and Tessa Blanchard showing up. But EO losing to Raquel is fine. I wonder if they're going to have Raquel be a transitionary champion.
You know, I don't know.
Like, have her hold the belt for like a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden, boom, like the new threat, and she loses that belt. You know.
You know, NXT doesn't book that way, especially for their main title pictures. So I'm curious if they do that. But who would that next threat be? I always, you know, looking at the roster, you know, any other time I would have said Toni Storm.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, and I think they're going to be pushing her heavy this year, but I don't know if that's the plan now.
Do you have the notes open in front of you?
I do.
Can you scroll to the end, please?
Oh, no. You know, Deacon had that haircut when he was a kid. So that's perfect. Oh, so upsetting. So good.
Can
so
we show upsetting. That on the air this weekend, please?
Definitely this weekend. I'll show it.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
So get that super chat going, man. If you want to see this wacky-ass picture.
So that was night one of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. Night two's tonight. Night two matches are the following: NXT Women's Tag Team Championship, Io Shirai and Shotzi Blackheart versus Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. By the way, I said defeated. I'm not slipping on this. I don't know who wins that match because I did that a couple weeks ago and someone's like, well, Andrew slipped and said this person wins. We have NXT North American Championship, Johnny Gargano and Bronson Reed. NXT Cruiserweight Unification Ladder Match, which I'm really looking forward to. This could be a sleeper. This could be the match of night. Jordan Devlin and Santos Escobar. And an unsanctioned match, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly. And the NXT Championship on the line in the main event, Finn Balor, Karrion Kross with Scarlett, which I'm looking forward to. This is going to be a cool night. I'm curious what any surprises for this night, you know, what it could be.
Tessa Blanchard shows up and challenges Karrion Kross.
Okay, that's fine. Everything is Tessa.
Tonight's event is, I feel like, true. Last night was great. It was pay-per-view quality. I feel like this one is like really pay-per-view quality. You know,
By the way, Taya Valkyrie. Yeah. We forgot to mention that.
That's right. What was her? What flashed on the screen? It was Frankie Monet.
Frankie Monet,
right?
I think so.
I remember because Papa John's was like, "Who's Frankie Monet?"
Frankie Monet,
give me a mulat at the bar.
We also had AEW last night. Let's run down this really quickly and talk about what we liked and what we don't like. A lot happened on AEW. AEW's been battling some ratings, some viewership issues the last 2 weeks. Where it's interesting, if you break down the ratings and the viewership, the number of households is not really down that much, but the viewership per household is down. So people aren't watching this together. Something that NXT struggles with. And I do think it has to do with their older audience, where people are watching alone, and the younger audience that AEW has on Wednesday nights tends to watch with people. So they're coming off of a weird slump the last couple of weeks, and going head-to-head with a takeover. So they did not phone this in. They didn't just put out a show. They actually attempted to be very competitive. And they began the show with Hangman Page and Max Caster. What did you think? Hangman looked a little tired.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they have Hangman now in their back pocket. I don't think he looked tired. Maybe, you know, maybe he had like a sleepless night or something. But he looked good. Like, they both look good. Max Caster, I think, bright future. Same thing with Anthony Bowens. I'm a big fan of the Acclaimed. The end sequence was great. Before we go on, though, you mentioned yesterday, like, who do you think is going to take the, now that this is NXT's last Tuesday on USA, we were talking about the ratings last night.
Yeah.
Who's going to come out on top this week? I called AEW. I'm thinking AEW. Just because.
I still think it's going to be NXT. I don't think a lot of people knew it was on Peacock, strangely. I think most people knew it was on USA and they stuck to their habit of turning on USA. The Peacock experience is not that great. So even if you did know, you may have opted into watching the USA feed. Now tonight, different story, right? It's going to be all Peacock. And the reason for the two night thing was to lead into Peacock and kind of test the threshold. Because if you think about it this way, you have a product on TV that this show should have done 800,000 views, in my opinion.
Sure.
Okay? You've taken that audience now, and you also have it on Peacock. I don't think last night a tremendous amount of those people went over there. However, tonight, that same 800,000 that watched your product, maybe 600,000 are going to watch now. And it's a good test to see how Peacock is going to handle a live feed with hundreds of thousands, closer to a million, that you probably are expecting with WrestleMania.
Okay. What about the lack of buzz? You know, I feel like there was such a lack of buzz for last night's show. That makes me think, like, why would people tune in tonight? You know?
That was a little worrisome, right?
A little bit. You know, just like gauging, because we're like, listen, like, guys, if you're watching this, like, we are pretty much like on top of like what's going on as far as like hype and buzz and all that stuff. I wouldn't call it worrisome because it's not something that directly affects us, you know, but I think it's interesting how for those bigger NXT shows, there's usually a lot of buzz. There's usually a lot of viewers. Usually our chat room is like bumping. And last night it was just like a regular episode of NXT as far as perception goes. You know, tonight I'm hoping it's a little better and a little more energetic and a little more popping when we do the watch along. But I think you're 100% right as far as like, this might be their litmus test for the infrastructure on Peacock, right? if you remember that first WrestleMania on the WWE Network, I very, very directly remember a lot of people saying that they were having troubles with the stream and it was buffering and getting choppy and they had to log in and log out like repeatedly.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I mean, tonight I expect it to be a little bit more lively. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
You gotta get lively.
Dude, I'm gonna be lively tonight. Death Triangle Pack.
You're saving it?
I'm saving it. Death Triangle Pack and Rey Fénix are announced to get their tag team title shot next week. I'm looking forward. So is it possible they defeat Nick and Matt? Is that possible?
I don't think so, man. You know where I think all of this stuff is going, looking at what's happening last night? I think Tony Khan looked at his roster and said, you know what? Forget trios. I need five O's.
I need
factions. I need faction O's.
So because, factions like, everywhere. Everywhere there's a faction.
Dude, everybody's in a faction. Look, like the Factory, you have Inner Circle, you have the Pinnacle, you have, I'm just going to call them like New Bullet Club, right? And I think the 5-on-5s are going to be what we're seeing in the future. And that makes me just think that Death Triangle needs two more dudes so that they can be like Death Pentagram or some shit.
Yeah. Something like that. Chris Jericho, Inner Circle. So while we were doing the show, people started messaging us and telling us that Chris Jericho did a CM Punk style pipe bomb. Yeah. Listen, guys, it was a great promo. Great promo. Not on that level, though. It didn't have the same substance. It didn't resonate that way, but it was a really good promo.
Not to take away from it, but it was a stellar A-plus promo.
Yeah, very good. Jericho, very aggressive in his promo. He apologized to the fans, talking about how, whatever happened with the Inner Circle. He apologized and said he took his eye off the ball. You referred to MJF as his jerk-off friend. He called MJF a mark, challenged the Pinnacle to a blood and guts match May 5th. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you this because I was thinking about this and I was really curious. I think it's too early to do that match.
Oh, I think it's right on time, man. He sold me. He put my ass in that seat.
You know why? I'm going to tell you the reason why I think that he could have done more. Or they could have waited more, I should say. Mm-hmm. They could have waited more because, really, you kind of want to see something happen, a match brew before they get to this point. I know that they've been really trying to do this match. They need to get this War Games match happening. They're doing it at Daily's Place, so it's not going to be in front of a large audience unless maybe by May 5th they do decide to open up the admission into that building. You know, they're doing a house show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's the test to see how they're going to logistically do this with a live crowd rather than packing everybody for a TV. They pack them for a dark show, you know, a show that's not going to be on, and you'd go from there. I'm excited, but I would also say this match should have been saved for a live crowd, unless that is the plan. If that is the plan, then I have no complaints.
It's a month out, so they have a month of more storytelling to tell. I'm very happy with the trajectory of where this is going. It also could be shot like the Stampede match, you know, like kind of like the wacky cinematic, like wrestling / comedy match.
Yeah.
It could be in a blacked out arena. That would be cool too. You know,
it could be in a blacked out arena. That's also something we could do. They could do. I don't know. We'll see. I'm very curious about it. Very curious.
It's gonna be. How did you feel about Mike Tyson saving the day?
Oh, Tyson's back. So pretty much what happened after the interview, Jericho interview, after they got jumped by the Pinnacle, they locked the Inner Circle in their dressing room. Mike Tyson came out to save Chris Jericho from a beatdown. Tyson looked like $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
He was, you know, he was unloading some punches, and I'm sure some of them connected. He ripped his shirt off, looks unbelievable. This is a guy in his mid-50s. The guy's in tremendous shape. He still doesn't know how to do proper hand gestures. Everything looks a little too stiff, especially when he's doing one of these. It was interesting, but And then the Inner Circle joined in, and they, I guess Tyson is part of the Inner Circle in some capacity, which is pretty cool.
All right, fair enough. He's like the enforcer of the Inner Circle, right? Do you think he's going to be at ringside during Blood and Guts?
He's going to be there next week.
Okay.
So we'll see. I don't know.
How do you like QT Marshall's new group?
I don't know how I feel about that. I see, this is the thing. When you have group after group after group, right, being piled out there, it's a little too much. I feel like it's too many groups now. And I'm a fan of factions. I think it was too many groups back to back, because everything is a group if you look at it, right?
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
I mean, they're big on the factions, but I feel like it's involved in every storyline now. It's like gang warfare constantly. The factory, Rich, you like it, right?
I'm down with it. I'm digging it. I like the promo that QT cut, you know, very good A+ promo. Lots of really good promos on last night's show. And I think that's something that AEW has in spades, you know, like guys who can cut really good promos. Like, we skipped over that Christian and Taz promo. There was a Team Taz promo, Jericho's promo, QT Marshall's promo, Lance Archer with Sting and Jake, and that, like, even that little awkward thing.
Oh yeah, what was that? It was awkward. It was really awkward.
Jake Roberts makes me feel very uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah. It's the voice, man. It's the rasp.
And I think he called Tony Schiavone a gerbil or a gopher or something.
Yeah, you freaking gerbil. Like that?
Eggs. Where's the girls?
Where's the girls?
So, like, I do like how Sting turned that shit into, like, positive reinforcement, saying, yeah, I agree with you, Lance Archer. Go out there and get him. And he's like, all right, boss.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, all right. That was fine.
But I know you're not a big QT Marshall fan.
I don't dislike him. I just, it is what it is. I feel, okay, yeah. I'm going to say something maybe a little, I feel like the main stars of the show are not getting enough TV time on this show.
Like who? Give me a couple examples.
Like Kenny, Hangman, Moxley, I don't think they're all over the show. Jericho's all over the show now, but I feel like there's been a balance shift where that's all it was, and now they're trying to pack in so much of the younger guys also to kind of get them over, which I totally understand. There is a weirdness in the formatting for me.
Is it? Do you think
I'm not criticizing them? I am criticizing them. I'm not saying that it takes away from the show, because it's still a good show. But I feel like there is a formatting battle happening, and I don't know why it's going in this direction where they're trying to get so many people on TV.
I think they're adhering to, and again, like, we don't know for sure. But to me, I have no problem with it. I feel like they're sticking to a very meticulously laid out timeline and plan for Dynamite. You know, I kind of feel like Tony Khan may have taken inspiration from New Japan booking and said, okay, these are my loose notes of where I want everything to go for the next 3 months. You know, so like, this episode is this, this episode is this, this episode is this. And listen, that dude stuck to that plan, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's never pivoted. Like, unless it was something dire, like I think the last pivot they did was after the explosion dud, you know, where like they pivoted into it, you know, they leaned into the fact that explosion wasn't good, and then they carried on business as usual. You know, last week we saw that main event with the Best Friends and Trent's return. A lot of people were kind of poo-pooing on it, saying like, why is this the main event? You know, I think that like everything has a reason for the most part, you know, so like, I'm cool with his style of booking.
Yeah, no, generally I am too. I just feel like the last 2 weeks, like last week's AEW had over 60 people on TV. It's a little too much.
Okay.
You know, you're kind of losing the focus a little bit when you're putting so many people on. Also at Jurassic Express, defeating Bear Country. All right. It was a fine match. I like that Bear Country kind of does things that are a little different for big guys. Mm-hmm. Bear Bronson, very talented Northeastern indie guy. Mm-hmm. Bear Boulder, I don't know much about. I've met Bear Bronson multiple times at shows. Tay Conti with Dark Order defeated the Bunny with the Hardy Family Office.
Cool. I think Tay Conti's taking that belt off of Hikaru Shida.
You know what? It's possible. I think she's very, very over.
She's super over.
And you had your main event, your six-man main event. John Moxley and the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick, versus Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers, Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows. Can I tell you my biggest problem with this match?
Sure.
Okay. I'm saying this. I'm going to say this in the least of, like, extremes, okay?
Okay.
Let me just start off by saying that.
I'm ready.
This main event reminded me so much of a WCW main event ending, and not in a good way.
Really?
I hate, and I'm going to tell, one of my pet peeves in wrestling is I beat the shit out of you, right? And then we swerve everybody, and we're actually on the same page.
Okay.
I despise seeing that in wrestling because it's one of those things that I cannot do the suspension of disbelief with that.
Okay.
Where if I'm punching you in the face for 10 minutes and now at the end of the match, we're now friends.
Okay.
And it wasn't that we were set up as friends to face each other by the big evil owner, you know? I really didn't like the fact that the Young Bucks and Kenny were, you know, and even the Good Brothers, they were in a match, all of them together. And at the end, you know, they're kind of like palling it up.
Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. You know what? Like, I feel I agree with you, but I also take that kind of, I take that with a grain of salt. Because you know what that whole thing did for me?
What?
It's the thing that we talk about on the show a lot. Certain guys don't have friends. The Moxley character, of course he's not going to get along with the Bucks. You know? So, yeah. That dude is by himself.
Listen,
right?
I get why you like it. I enjoyed it too. I thought it was done well. And I get that Moxley's on the outs of these guys. But then why do the tag match?
Yeah, you know what? I agree with that. Like that slight little flaw. But you know what? I enjoyed it. I liked the second reunion at the end, which is fine. I can't get enough of Don Callis. I want to know if... Can we do like 2 minutes of fantasy booking?
Yeah, do it.
Okay. I want your opinion on, since there are trios, there are 5-0s in AEW, who does Mox need to go up against the New Bullet Club?
How many guys are we talking?
Let's give him like 3 other dudes.
Okay. Obviously, you're going to give them. So we got Mox.
Mm-hmm.
We got. I'll put Lance Archer with him. I'll put Pac with him. I'll put Eddie Kingston with him.
Okay.
How many do I have? Do I need more?
That's 4. Why Pac?
Hangman.
You would take Pac out of Death Triangle.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Just my own fantasy booking, and definitely Hangman. Because, you know, Hangman's hanging back on this. He's doing nothing with these guys right now. He's out of that elite storytelling.
Isn't that fascinating, too, where you had Hangman and Cody as two predominant members of Bullet Club at one point?
Yeah.
And they're just like, we're going to forget about these two guys and then just focus on these guys right here.
Yeah, I do find, you know, and I think they benefit from being out of it. I think it would have been too many of them together, you know?
Yeah.
Based on that. So, I don't know. I that was the only criticism I had at the main event. I thought it was, you know, it got the story along more, but, you know, they're still kind of telling the Young Bucks story. I could anticipate them getting screwed by Gallows and Anderson, you know, and Kenny. At the end, and they look like idiots for kind of, you know, palling it up at the end. I they're very conflicted. I get it. I get that that's a story, but I personally always disliked the we're friends, but I'm going to beat you up. I hate you. I'm going to beat you up. And then now we're going to be friends for no reason, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. It worked with Kingston and Moxley.
It worked with Kingston and Moxley. Yes. Well, because they told the story that they were best friends.
Yeah,
and now, really, the biggest problem was that they weren't communicating, and that's why they got into a bad position. It was a lack of communication.
So you guys always communicate with your buddies.
Always communicate with your buddies. Your bodies and your buddies.
Your bodies and your buddies. Got to listen to your bodies and your buddies. What did you think about the Hall of Fame?
It was weird to watch it. I always find the Hall of Fame really weird to begin with. Because you would expect, like, the crowd is so unrefined for a Hall of Fame, because WWE really tries to make this like a red carpet event. That's always been like their thing, where they want, they love everybody in a suit sitting there at a red carpet event. And then you got like guys in like cut off tees, you know, screaming one more run at Austin. So it really doesn't get the point across. The point that they want to get across is this high end event. This was their way of doing it, right? They had no crowd.
But also, remember, like a few years ago, they put the kibosh on people showing up in like day clothes,
yeah,
and like in their sloppy seconds and like beaters. Like they were like, if you're gonna go to the Hall of Fame, at least wear a button down, you know,
at least,
and that, and get drunk and scream one more match at every single person that walks up. You know what? I like what they did aesthetically. I thought it was great. The timing was fine. It makes me wonder if maybe they're going to go back to that banquet style thing that they used to do, where it's just like everybody kind of having dinner.
Dude, you know what? I would have loved for them to do that this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just something small and intimate, and you could kind of have everybody there. Listen, the people that went in there, a lot of them are very highly deserving, especially Eric Bischoff. Definitely, there's no question that he should be in the Hall of Fame. Plenty of other people in there. And then you got like the celebrity wing of William Shatner going in. You know, it's WWE's Hall of Fame. Doesn't matter. I thought it was really uncomfortable how they would cut to the screen. And the screen, but you could tell that it wasn't a live moment. It was just like, okay, guys, we're going to boo. All right, everybody boo. And they would capture them booing. Okay, everybody's going to cheer it. They're going to capture them cheering.
Yeah.
So they were using those canned moments. It had to be really difficult for the guys to deliver this speech.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, it's one thing performing in front of a crowd, but it's the complete opposite to perform in an empty room, you know? And like, who knows if like, let's say JBL gives a speech. Who knows if it's like Vince and Hunter standing 20 feet away from him, just staring at him, you know? Oh, and God, you're kind of like, so I'm here. Thanks, everybody. Like RVD, I feel like RVD's was interesting.
RVD's was really uncomfortable.
RVD's was interesting. I think they shot it a couple of times because when they showed him come out, his hair was all messy. And then they cut to a shot of him with his hair like all slicked back and nice.
Oh, my. So oh, really? Is that what happened? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think they taped it over like the course of whatever. And I feel like they probably edited everybody's speech. The one thing I don't, and I mentioned this last night on the watch along, the thing I don't care to hear anymore are the canned wrestlers' rhetoric speeches. You know what I mean? Like Hogan is the perfect example of like, there's no substance there. It's just Hogan checked out and going, brother, I ordered 75 NWA t-shirts, NWO t-shirts,
and I got NWA t-shirts.
I got them both. I got them all, guys. I ordered 75 NWO t-shirts to my beach shop in Florida, and they're all sold out, brother. One more run, right, guys? And it's like, dude, like we've heard this like a million billion times. Whereas JBL's speech, very heartfelt. Rob Van Dam's speech, as weird as it was, fantastic.
Hogan going in and out of hacky 1980s promos is so fascinating to me. And the fact that at 67 years old, he's still putting himself over as the undefeated man. You know what I mean? Like he goes,
you know, brother, I never lost the NWO title.
Oh, so good.
And I'm like, you never lost the NWO title. I'm like, I'm almost certain you lost the title.
The spray paint title.
Okay, what are we going to do about it? What are we doing now? Are you wrestling? I'm certain now on night one or whatever night Hogan's night is, there's going to be a freaking moment where him and Titus are in the ring and somebody comes out to do something, you know, like shut up, old man. And Titus and him run wild and Titus and him do the whole thing, do this. They do the whole thing. And then they cut away into the WrestleMania package.
There's definitely going to be some kind of Hogan action happening. Also, I'm going to interject myself really quick. Lager's speech was great. But the Hogan stuff is so bizarre. Do you see him doing anything physical this weekend?
Yes. Yeah, I think he's pumped. I think he's ready. He's going to try every possibility to do something physical.
One more run, brother.
You know what he's going to wear? He's going to wear the underwear, the little yellow underoos.
Oh, yeah. Like red and yellow. Imagine
red and yellow.
Imagine if he goes up to Vince and Gorilla and he's like, what do you think about this, brother? And he rips his shirt off and he's like, like really jacked, like underneath those clothes.
Vince is saying, go out there. You're winning the title.
Oh, my God. Change of plans, guys.
Change of plans. Sorry, guys. Hogan's going over. Hogan
beats Bobby Drew beats Bobby Lashley. And then Hogan comes out and beats Drew McIntyre.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That, you know what? That would be a great WrestleMania moment.
I wonder. Listen. I feel like Mr. Gonzo is going to know this, or you might know this too. Who is the oldest, like, big time wrestler to compete in his later age? You know, like, how old is the oldest
to compete at the caliber that, like, a full time caliber?
Not competing in like a country fair or something, but to have like a match, like a televised match. Like, who is the oldest?
I would say Flair. Mm-hmm. I would say Flair. You know, a lot of those NWA, the AWA guys were much older, you know.
Okay.
At the end of the run. So I don't know if you want to count that. I know that Buddy Rogers was wrestling in 1992, was his last match. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a much smaller event, but he still had it. Vern Gagne was wrestling full time for a very long time. But I would say in like modern history, for a full-time schedule, it would probably be Terry Funk or Ric Flair, right?
Sure. If maybe Fritz Von Erich.
I guess Fritz Von Erich. I mean, not on a national level, though. Gagne, too, but not on like a memorable national. Like, I'm saying modern. If you're going to go modern wrestling, I would say probably Flair would be the most remembered. But remember, a lot of these guys, you don't. They're all in their 50s and you don't even know.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it's not, you know what? Like, it's not even discounting, not one more run for Hogan, but like, it's not out of the realm of oddball possibility. Like, you never know, man. It's WrestleMania weekend. This dude may win the 24/7 title for like an afternoon.
I mean, 1992, Flair was 42 years old. Okay.
Wow.
Think of that. So, 2002, when he came to WWE, so from 2002 to 2008, that run, he was, Oh, thank you. What do we have here? Hold on. Did you make me a cocktail, or is this a...
Is another drink? James Dean?
He made me a James Dean. Oh, this is delicious. Beautiful iced tea.
Nice.
Triple H is in his 50s. Jericho's in his 50s. Sting is 62 years old. Flair was in 52 in 2002, and he had a pretty hell... He had a hell of a run when he, by the time he retired. And then even in TNA, he had some outstanding matches. So I would say modern history, Ric Flair, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like big time. Again, like not country fair style where you have like 70-year-old so-and-so wrestling 70-year-old so-and-so. You know, like on television, like a televised
Gypsy
match.
Gypsy Joe.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to go right to questions or do you want to talk about the next scheduling thing, the GCW stuff?
Yeah, let's talk about GCW. By the way, also, submit your questions in the chat room so we can do our best to answer them. We got about, I don't know, a few minutes here.
We got a few minutes here, and then we'll be back tonight for the NXT Watch Along Night 2.
Mm-hmm. All right. So GCW, the collective schedule on Fight TV.
That's today.
Starting today. Starting at noon now. Jimmy Lloyd's Degeneration F.
We gotta go
to GCW. 4 p.m. The Acid Cup Night 1. Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 6. The main event is Moxley versus Josh Barnett in the main event. So that's a big deal. 8 p.m. tonight. 12 o'clock you got for the culture. 11:59 p.m. for the culture. On April 9th, tomorrow, we have Alley Cat's Real Hot Girl Shit at noon. 4 p.m. We got the Acid Cup 2 p.m. Day 2. I apologize. Wrong time. 4 p.m. The Acid Cup Day 2. Joey Janela Spring Break 5 at 8 p.m. So I guess Joey Janela is doing two spring breaks or just one?
Just one. I think just the one. Last one was... Never mind. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. And then we got Violence Suffering at 11:59. p.m. tonight, tomorrow night. Then on April 10th, we got Effie's Big Gay Brunch. We got at 11 a.m. 3 p.m. we got Planet Death. 7 p.m. Unsanctioned Pro. 11:59 p.m. No Peace Underground. That is
right
the
on.
GCW schedule. Also, isn't there a bunch of stuff on Peacock?
Oh, I'm not sure Saturday? About that, man. I'm still trying to navigate the Peacock stuff.
Yeah, I think I got to find the schedule here. Do we have the schedule? Yes, here we go. You ready? Mm-hmm. Here is the WWE schedule for Peacock. Thursday, mm-hmm. Friday. Okay. Holy moly. So we are now, what day is it? Thursday? We got NXT UK. We got This Week in WWE, NXT TakeOver pre-show. NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver at 8 p.m. Pre-show at 7, 8 p.m. for the show. Friday, we got The Best of WWE WrestleMania and 205 Live at 10 p.m. Saturday, we got Evolve 8. We got ICW Fight Club 167. We got WXW We Love Wrestling 6. Progress Chapter 109. Talking Smack. This is Saturday. We got The Bump, WrestleMania Night 1. Wow. We got a whole slew of content on here on Peacock the next 2-3 days. So it's going to be a very busy schedule of content that they're going to be airing. Trying to build a big audience. All right. Question time. Q&A.
The Ringside Club via Twitter asks, what are your thoughts on the many faction stables being created right now in AEW? Do you think it's too much? Should there be less?
I think there should be I don't know. I'm kind of in the middle. If it works, then no, it's fine. If it doesn't work, then yes, it's too much. And right now, it's kind of in the middle. So okay. The only issue is the parallel booking that they tend to do with factions.
Yes.
Like, it's not so much the faction, it's the fact that they're both, all the factions are having very similar booking as far as, mm-hmm. you know, I like to use this expression from the 90s, gang warfare, you know? Mm-hmm. They're big on that.
Gotta get those 5-0s. Treehouse Vince, friend of the show, Treehouse Vince, big shout out. Do you need anything from Costco?
Yeah, dude, can you get me a brisket? I want to make a brisket this weekend.
Yeah, give me 17 pounds of avocados, please.
Yeah, thank you. And like really cheap deli turkey.
Ugh, gross. Do you I know you can be a cold cut guy.
I love cold cuts.
I know you do. Do you ever F with the prepackaged turkey slices?
You know, sometimes it's on sale.
Uh-huh.
And I love the turkey slices, but like I like it sliced very thin from deli. And fresh. I like it a little dry, and I feel like the prepackaged ones are very wet.
Slimy. They're so
very slimy. And that's the thing that, I mean, occasionally I'll get it, but not really.
That's like a particular food thing that I'm always interested in to hear from other people, you know? Because like my wife doesn't mind the prepackaged turkey. I can't stand it. Too slimy.
You know what? You know what I do like?
Hit me.
Cold cut chicken.
If it's thin, yeah.
Very thin.
I'll fill you on that. Yeah.
Do you know that that's a New York thing, the super thin cold cuts?
Really?
Like, I like my cold cuts paper thin. It needs to be translucent. I need to see through this cold. If you think it's thin, it's not thin enough. I need it even thinner. I need that thing, like, super, like, paper.
Paper thin. Do you think it's because we're spoiled by those Boar's Head commercials where, like, everything's, like, folded and delicious looking?
Beautiful. Nobody's cold. Nobody makes a sandwich like that at home. Let me just tell you.
No.
My Yaya would put one piece of meat on that fucking sandwich and a slew of mayonnaise just gulped on.
Oh, boy. John Gorman asks, based on Hangman's recent booking, do we see him possibly facing Kenny Omega for the title at Double or Nothing? No.
I would wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, that's another thing in AEW. You know, nobody re-challenges for the title. If you notice that. Like, Jericho lost that title. There was no rematch. He didn't fight for a rematch. He went off to do something else. Hangman didn't want another shot at it. Moxley he's attempted to do it, but really that's the only time that they've continued that title hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see what they do once the Kenny and Moxley story kind of goes away a little bit.
The Grape, Ayaz Akhtar, asks, I know WrestleMania is going to be one night next year. Do you think that the future of WrestleMania is a two-day mania, WrestleMania?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's it's a lot. It's a ton. And really, for this year, they had to be two nights due to the time restriction for the event. They don't want these guys in that building for 6-7 hours. So, you know, for a show, obviously you're going to go early and get ready, but so they're going to keep this thing a little tighter, which I enjoy better, but does it need to be two nights? I don't think so. I know that they had said that they were going to go to one night next year, but I don't know if they'll continue going two nights. What do you think? You think it's a positive or a negative?
I like it. You know, I like this. If it's two nights, 3 hours each, I'm happy with that, as opposed to one night that starts at 4:30 and ends at midnight. You know, like, it's not even an attention span thing. It's a burnout thing. You know,
it is 100%.
By the end, I remember when we were doing those watch alongs, even when I had the WrestleMania parties at my place, you know, like, there would be three, four people left at the end of the night that started with like 30 people.
One is passed out on the couch.
You know, yeah, exactly. You know,
great example of this, right? Great example of what you're saying. Mm-hmm. The main event with Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda. That main event suffered from serious audience burnout at home. Yep. And at WrestleMania, because those people were there for like 8 hours by the time that show was over. And, you know, Becky Lynch winning that double title, that's a tremendous monumental moment that got very little reaction. People were just, not that the match was bad, they were just exhausted. So I agree with you. In that sense, definitely the main event benefits, but maybe we shouldn't keep the show 7 hours. Maybe it should be a 4 hour, 4.5 hour show and call it a day. Less is more sometimes.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Less is, like, those old wrestlers. Like, I remember, I think it was early last year when we did a watch along, and we did a WrestleMania, and we were like, yo, this thing's like 2.5 hours. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But that was like it was like a 90s WrestleMania, I think. All right, moving on. From Caleb, did Loomis and Grimes make it out unscathed after that nasty spill out of the ring last night?
Yeah, I think they're fine.
Yeah. Adam Y, did they announce X-Pac going in with the NWO beforehand? I don't remember him in any of the ads. Yes, they announced that a while ago, because as soon as they announced it months and months ago, he was saying, people were asking him if he wants to be inducted by himself, like as X-Pac, and not with NWO or DX.
He could actually become a 3-time inductee now.
He deserves it, man. Like, I love X-Pac. Got another one from The Grape. Any news on NXT Evolve? Did you hear that Peacock will have better controls for Mania on iOS and tvOS?
I did not hear any of that. I know that they're reworking the app due to all the complaints. I know that WWE has a bunch of suggestions for them. Peacock is still not on the Fire TV. Let me just put it that way. As a great example of how slow they've been to develop this, they were supposed to. I was told 100% before WrestleMania they will be on the Fire TV, and they're not. So that's a big problem.
Okay.
NXT Evolve. I've been told very soon. Awesome. That is what I've been told. Very soon is what they said.
Our very own Papa Johnzo asks, what wrestler do you think is the smelliest?
Oh, that's a great question. Who is the smelliest?
Bash and Booger.
No, current wrestler.
Current wrestler.
Current WWE wrestler.
I have a theory. I feel like the more handsome and polished you are, the more you smell.
Stinky?
Yeah. Like, you have, like, I feel like whenever I've met like a handsome executive on like a gig or something.
Yeah.
Your breath is always putrid.
Oh, yikes.
You
know?
But you got to be handsome. I feel like you have to have like...
You got to be handsome.
You got to have like a Patrick Bateman level of handsome. And I feel like that just, in my head, immediately makes you stink. Like, stink lines, the whole nine.
Large 23, didn't you tease something on the last Mat Men show? I did, but I'm waiting to confirm this before I talk about it. And I have not... I emailed to ask if I could talk about it. I have not heard back, so... Maybe you'll get it tonight. Maybe you'll get it during WrestleMania.
All right.
I have to self-censor myself.
We got one more, and then you think we're good?
I think we're good.
It's from our fifth Mat Men, Shin. Does Corbin make a run in and help Lashley retain his title?
I hope not. I hope they don't do that, but it's very possible. I really hope they don't do that.
Corbin is going to be on the show in some capacity because the people in the back love Baron Corbin. You know, like, he's had an interesting rise from NXT to where he is now, and he's been put in so many main event situations that's not out of the realm of possibility that he helps Bobby Lashley.
It's very possible. I just hope it's not. What starts WrestleMania? What's the opening match, you think?
I think it's going to be Lashley, Drew McIntyre.
You think that'll be the opening match?
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards that. I do too.
Right.
I don't know why. That's why I asked. I know it's an odd question, but I have the same feeling that it may be Lashley and Drew to open it. Guys, that's it for this week. I want to thank our sponsor, Canvas Theory, for joining us and supporting the show. Also, thank you to everybody that joined us last night and, of course, right now. We are back this evening on the F4W YouTube account on WrestlingObserver.com. It's youtube.com/F4WOnline with night two of NXT Stand and Deliver. We'll be back live tonight. Hopefully, we'll take some phone calls. I'll fix the phone line. I have no idea why it's down. No idea. That guy was very upset. I apologize to him.
He was so upset with you, man.
It's okay. I would be upset too.
He said you're a crook.
He goes, you carny crook. We're going to be back at 7:30 p.m. tonight. And that's it, man. Tomorrow morning, we'll be on with our WrestleMania preview. And Saturday, we'll see Saturday night, and we'll see Sunday night. And that's it. See you next time. Take care.
Later.